You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen a lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. Today on the show, we're going to talk about truth. As someone who wants to believe things that are true and encourage you, the listener, to do so as well, I'm sure, like me, you're probably banging your head against the wall watching all of this ridiculous political state that America seems to have fallen into. It feels like suddenly facts don't matter. Donald Trump, who himself criticized politicians for lying to you to get your vote, himself says whatever is politically expedient. Quote, I'm the only person who's going to support the LGBT community. Hillary certainly won't, but I will. Fast forward to recent tweets about trans people not being allowed to serve in the military to a new perspective on Title VII, the Civil Rights Act, saying that the protected class of sex doesn't include sexual orientation. And you know you've made it in social media when Christians start hammering your posts, questioning things like why an all-powerful, all-loving God would allow children to be molested by his own shepherds. I want to believe things that are true, and faith is simply a bad way to find truth. So if you've been listening for a while, you know we try to take a very critical approach to truth claims from religion, politics, and goop.com's vagina rocks. But in a world where everything critical is cast aside as fake news and political lies claimed as alternative facts, we need to do more. Our guest today is the lead creator of the Pro-Truth Pledge, which I have taken, and is a critical component of the growing pro-truth movement. Dr. Gleb Sapersky is a professor at Ohio State University, an author. His writing frequently appears in Time, Psychology Today, Huffington Post, and he's often a guest on TV, radio, and podcasts like this. He is currently writing The Alternative to Alternative Facts, Fighting Post-Truth Politics with Behavioral Science, which is due out in 2018. Dr. Sapersky, I appreciate your time very much, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we are very excited to have you on and talk about this. It's a very important message, and you know we're thrilled to be a part of it. Aside from that credentialed, riddled introduction, who is Gleb Sapersky? And what was the, well, we may be able to guess, but what was the catalyst for your becoming what I would consider a truth-finding educator?
So the catalyst from my early years was that I saw when I was a teenager people making really bad decisions around me because they believed in lies. You know, people making bad financial decisions, bad political decisions, bad decisions of all sorts just because they believed in lies. I was a secular activist from my teenage years, so I was leading a secular student alliance club in my college and so on. Now, I got into university, into the field of the history of behavioral science, which is concerned with how people think and how they make decisions. And specifically, I wanted to figure out why people make bad decisions and how to prevent them from making bad decisions, how to help people. That's my motivation. And so about 2 years ago, I started the nonprofit Intentional Insights together with my wife, who has an MBA in nonprofit management, so she knows how nonprofits work. And I know the content, it popularizes behavioral science research. So how to think critically, how to make effective decisions to achieve your goals. Now we made a pivot once the election season heated up and we saw that Trump was going to be the major candidate because of the amount of lies and fake misleading statements coming from him. We saw that this was going to be the biggest need for our country and the world as a whole to address lies and deceptions in the political sphere. Mm. So we focused on that. And the Pro-Truth Pledge Project is something that has come out after the 2016 election. You know, As many people, I was surprised by his victory in November 2016. Yeah. I hope that, you know, we can kind of tamp down our work in politics at that point, but instead we had to ratchet up. So right now that's most of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we've been working since November 2016 through the launch of the Pro-Truth Pledge Project in March 2016 to actually figure out with a group of other behavioral scientists what is going to be a good tool in a nonpartisan fashion to address lies in the political sphere. And so that's when we rolled out the Pro-Truth Pledge in March 2017 to have a nonpartisan grassroots-based movement, a pro-truth movement, to address lies in politics and other areas of public discourse.
So I was kind of applying a historical lens. You know, I'm pretty vocal that the way we teach history in the United States is kind of intellectually dishonest with kids, right? We're teaching memorizing the names and places and dates with the primary goal of passing an assessment, right? And I'm a product of this system. Yeah. So when I do study something in history, I always find myself going like, wow, if I had been taught this or in a different way that wasn't meant to just memorize facts, but more to understand what was happening during that time or that event, less who, what, where, when, and more why. And I say that because in truly understanding the things of our past, we can better assess our present and plan for the future, right? So with that in mind, what can history inform us about our current post-truth populist political state?
So yeah, history and contemporary history and a little bit older history shows that the current situation in the United States is on a dangerous slippery slope that might well lead to authoritarianism. Mm-hmm. So we've had a number of situations where post-truth political states have led to authoritarianism. We have one clearly happening right now in Turkey, with Erdogan has basically, as a democratically elected leader, has lied, deceived, attacked the media, manipulated the election process, and has now taken authoritarian power. Mm. We saw that happen about a decade ago in Russia, which was a democratic state previous to Putin coming to power. Now Putin came to power, he started attacking the media, took them over using the government, same thing that Erdogan is doing right now, and then, you know, manipulating the election process. Basically, there's a lot of evidence on election stuffing and manipulation in both countries. Mm. And now Russia is definitely an authoritarian country. The process is not limited to Russia and Turkey, which are two large democratic countries, previously democratic capitalist countries in modern society. That happened in other countries in Western Europe, countries like Spain, countries like Portugal, countries like Italy, countries like Germany. So there's absolutely, I mean, this happened in Spanish America, in South America, in a number of countries. There is absolutely no reason why this would not happen in the United States. Fortunately, we have so far not suffered an authoritarian turn in the United States. Doesn't mean that we won't. Mm-hmm. And right now, we are definitely in a situation that it's quite possibly will result in that outcome, which is something I'm quite aware of, and something that has really driven me to put a lot of my energy from research into activism in this sphere.
And I think maybe the average Joe citizen would probably hear that line of thinking and go, no, that won't happen here, right? That's just alarm ringing. This is America, we're the greatest nation ever. That won't happen to us.
A lot of people have thought that a lot of the things that Trump did would never happen to us.
No kidding.
So there's absolutely no reason why. So this is a common cognitive fallacy. It's called survivorship bias. Basically, that if it hasn't happened to us, we keep thinking that it won't happen to us.
Right.
A really common example here is turkey that's being grown on the farm. And, you know, a turkey has had a nice life and everything was super nice and dainty until the farmer comes and chops its head off for Thanksgiving. Now, you know, just because the farmer has not chopped its head off previously doesn't mean the farmer won't chop its head off in the future.
Right.
You know, it's a similar story. You know, just because the United States hasn't had an authoritarian government in the past and things have been hunky-dory doesn't mean we won't have one in the future.
Yep.
If we look at So the way out of this is to look at other turkeys around us and see that, in some cases, turkeys do get their heads chopped off.
Right.
And are there signs that we are being, you know, fattened up for Thanksgiving? And are there clear signs that are similar to other turkeys in other countries?
Yeah.
And we have clear signs that are similar to other countries that we are fattened up for Thanksgiving. And if we don't take steps, it's very credible that something like this may happen. I mean, Trump is attacking the media in exactly the same ways that Erdogan did and Putin did in their early years in attacks on the media. Trump is gathering together an election commission, which is trying to get voter data in illegal ways, clearly illegal ways, and manipulate voter data, so manipulate the election. And we know that Russia has tried to hack very clearly the election process. All of our intelligence agencies say this. Trump refuses to acknowledge this. Now, why is he refusing to acknowledge this? He's clearly enabling a situation that would help undermine the election process. And Russia is definitely an expert at undermining the election process.
Definitely.
And so in a number of other countries around the world. So we have two clear indicators, attacks in the media and, you know, Trump saying that basically believe him, don't believe anyone else, and attacks on the election process in a whole variety of ways, both internal and external, not defending from external attacks and conducting internal attacks on the sanctity of the election process. So these are two clear indicators that we're being fattened up for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Now, to pull back just a little bit from the political scope, you know, these issues of truth finding are on a wide spectrum of issues with things like popularized bad science and crazy conspiracy theories and all of these things kind of on the same spectrum, fad detox juices to fake news. Why are we so easily duped by this stuff?
So we're easily duped by it because stories sound good to us. And things that attract our emotions, that sound emotionally appealing, are something that our brains tend to believe. It's easy to believe these things, especially things that fit our biases.
Mm-hmm.
So if we tend to be, you know, crunchy granola, hippie liberals, then we tend to believe that GMOs are bad,
right.
Or vaccines are bad because they come from mass industrial production companies, whatever, that we don't like. If we tend to be conservative Republicans, we tend to believe that global warming caused by humans is not real because that goes against the industrial energy complex. So there are clear reasons to disbelieve those things. If we, to go into politics, so the other example that you brought up is that, you know, if we believe that, let's say, Obama is bad, then we'll tend to believe Trump's claims that Obama wiretapped Trump Tower, despite so many Republicans as well as Democrats saying that those claims are ridiculous. And we tend to believe that, you know, if we don't dislike Republicans, we tend to believe that 9/11 is an inside job or something like that.
Right.
So these are easy myths to believe, especially when they are being spread by people in positions of leadership. So this is a psychological phenomenon that in behavioral science is called emotional contagion. People with authority are people who we perceive as leaders are strongly likely to influence our perceptions and our emotions. Trump is definitely a person in a position of authority, and he's made a name for himself as a birther, as someone who has lied about Obama's birth certificate.
Right.
And he keeps perpetuating nonsense conspiracy theories like it's Pizzagate and so on. And so, because he's in this position of influence for his followers and he's attacking the media, it's very easy for him to get his followers to believe whatever he wants. An interesting example is a Gallup poll that came out. Gallup has been surveying trust in the media for every year from 1996 to 2016. And we'll in September, and so we'll do one in September 2017. Now, the September 2015 polls showed that, compared to the September 2016 polls, showed that Republican trust in the media has fallen by more than half over that time. By more than half.
Wow.
And that is due to the Trump effect. That is the Trump attacks in the media. So, you know, previously, the Republican trust in the media has remained relatively stable from 2004 to 2015. So folks can look it up on the Gallup poll, Media Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that this is the effect of emotional contagion and the people's belief in leadership.
Now, buying chum buckets from Jim Baker because he's told you Jesus is coming back soon, it may seem pretty harmless on the surface, right? But that's just some individual money and sanity on the line. But those people vote, especially when the information is coming at us in what seems like exponentially increasing amount and speed. How can we as pro-truth advocates help other people figure out how to sort through all of this?
So the first thing is to be clear about ourselves and be role models ourselves. Here's where we get to the pro-truth pledge at protruthpledge.org. So listeners can go to the website if they're near a computer or their phone at protruthpledge.org and check it out. The first thing we can do is be role models ourselves. We need to show by our own behavior what it means to be oriented toward the truth. And so the pro-truth pledge involves everybody, all citizens, everyone, public figures, private citizens alike, committing to a set of simple behaviors that research in behavioral science shows are oriented toward the truth. And let me read a couple of them for people who aren't on their computer yet. So, fact-checking information to confirm it's true before accepting and sharing it. Reevaluating if my information is challenged and retracting it if I can't verify it.
Yes.
Asking people to retract information with reliable sources of disproved, even if they're my allies. And celebrating those who retract incorrect statements and update their beliefs toward the truth. And 8 more behaviors like this. So, following these behaviors in your regular everyday life, that is a very easy, simple way you can be a role model. Taking the pledge and saying, I am committed to this. Taking 2 minutes to go to the website and saying, this is something I'm committed to. You know, sharing it on your social media. You know, get the t-shirt, wear the t-shirt saying, share, honor, pledge to the truth. We have merchandise. And tweet about it. And tell people in your life that this is something that you're committed to.
Hmm.
Now, that's a really very important and easy step. Anyone can take 2 minutes to do to share their commitment to the truth and influence other people around them. So the reason that you influence other people around you is a psychological phenomenon called network effects. It's really interesting. So there are studies showing that if your spouse quits smoking, you're 67% more likely to quit smoking.
Oh, wow.
If your friend quits smoking, you are something like 33% or 34% more likely to quit smoking. And if your coworker quit smoking, close coworker in small businesses, it's about the same likelihood as a close friend, as a friend. So you basically have a surprising amount of impact on the people around you. Now, you wouldn't think it, but that's the case. You have a lot of impact by your everyday behaviors that you don't notice that you do. But if you start engaging and telling people that you are committed to the truth and engaging in these behaviors, that's going to be really important. For example, the behavior I mentioned about asking people to retract information from reliable sources of disproved, even if they're my allies. Imagine if every, you know, conservative or every liberal had someone in their social media feed who would gently and compassionately ask people, like, hey, can you clarify where you got that source from?
Yes.
And, you know, how reliable do you think that source is? Kind of gentle nudging questions, not aggressive or anything like that. How many people would go, you know, if for, you know, liberals, some kind of extreme liberal side, and for conservatives, some kind of extreme conservative side, you know, hey, how trustworthy is that site? And then they would want to, you know, if you ask that question, it's not like a hostile question, it's a curiosity question.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would go and look at venues like, you know, media bias check or factcheck.org or PolitiFact and see that, you know, like last time I looked at something like Occupy Democrats, an extreme liberal site.
Yes.
Most of the claims that were checked were pants on fire or lies, which are the two biggest, you know, lie categories. So then somebody would realize that sort of information and be like, maybe I shouldn't use this site.
And I would even say,
easy things you can do.
Yeah. And I would even say if it's, you know, even if it's a source that you otherwise assume to be trustworthy, right? Say it's a mainstream media outlet. Don't just share the headline, right? And we all fall into this trap. I see something that someone else has shared that is an article from a CNN or a whatever, a Washington Post or New York Times that I generally trust. And I see the headline and it reinforces my bias. So I just click share and hit save, right? And I didn't actually read the article. And oftentimes, when you, even if it's from a source that you otherwise trust, if you go read that article, you'll be like, whoa, this is not at all, it's not at all what the clickbaity headline might have said, and B, maybe it's not factual information.
Yeah, that's a good point. And one of the things, I wrote an article about this, and one of the things we ask people to do when they take the pro-truth pledge is to do a PS when you share posts. PS, I took the pro-truth pledge. I think the article is credible. I think the headline matches the article. And please correct me if you're wrong, if you think I'm wrong.
Oh, that's good.
Because there's a big problem with clickbaity headlines that they have, you know, again, clickbaity headlines that people are attracted to. And the article is not at all an example of what the headline actually says, for example. I was just talking to my wife about a Time magazine we got in the mail. And the Time magazine, they had a study whose title was of the article, health is definitely tied to happiness, or definitely, or happiness definitely causes better health. Hmm. When you read the article, the article says, you know, the study showed that happiness can contribute to good health.
Sure, right.
That's very different than it says something that says definitely contributes to good health. Those are two different sorts of things. You know, lots of science says, like, you know, this may happen. This can be the case. You know, who knows, right? That's, you know, there's a correlation versus something that says definitely.
Right.
Two
different things. That's a thing that I think maybe the average Joe also has a trouble has kind of some trouble with, is that differentiating causation and correlation. You know, when they're reading science.
True. So, there is a lot of challenge in differentiating causation and correlation, but I think any ordinary Joe can pick up the difference between definitely and
right. Yes.
Those are definitely two different statements.
Yes.
So here's where people can just take a look and see, you know, however science literate they are not, they can look at the difference between the headline and the article. And for the sake of their own credibility, if they want to, you remember that you are modeling the behavior that you want others to follow.
Right.
Your behavior shapes other people to a great extent, much greater than you anticipate, people in your social network. And so that is something that you can really easily do of, you know, making this sort of statement, you know, I took the pro-truth pledge, read the article, think it's credible, think the headline matches the article, and correct me if you think I'm wrong. And that makes your posts much more impactful than those of the average Joe who didn't take the pro-truth pledge. So that just gives you a better benefit of your own posts and people trust you more.
Yeah. I think we've got a very good audience that will, you know, they'll come on and say, Sarah, you're an idiot. That's a satire website and you just missed it, right? Because that happens too. And I'm very thankful that our listeners do that, you know. And all of this kind of talks about the individual, right? Like, so this is me saying, listen, this is what I want to put out there. I want things to be true that I share. And if they're not, please come to me and question me and let me know. What can we do to apply that then into our political system as individuals, as voters, and as a movement? You know, what do we need to do to demand honesty in politics as we go forward?
So the pro-truth pledge has not only individual component, but also a public component. And that's a really important just as important an aspect of the pledge as the individual component of the pledge. So if you sign up to the ProTruth pledge, for folks who are on the website, you can click the orange button that says take the pledge. And you can see that if you scroll down to the bottom of the pledge form, there's an opportunity for you to say that I call on all of my elected representatives to take the ProTruth pledge and make sure to provide your address if you leave the box checked. And a question that if you're a public figure. So that's the benefit of that is that we have volunteers, so anyone can be a volunteer. You can go to your elected representatives and say, hey, here's how many people in your district took the ProTruth pledge. How about you take it? So that's a petition function of it. And if you go lower in the form, you'll see that if you're a public figure, you can say that. You can link a photograph, and you can have a paragraph about why you chose to take the pledge and up to 3 links. Mm-hmm. And that gets put on our public figures page, and that gets put, and you can put a ProTruth pledge badge on your website that you took the ProTruth pledge and that you want yourself to be held accountable, and that gets sent out to all the people who took the ProTruth pledge, which is why we want as many people as possible to take it, because that provides incentives for public figures to take it. So public figures basically get a reputation as someone who is truthful and oriented toward honesty by taking the ProTruth pledge. And this is a major, we've been analyzing the political system and we saw that this is a major, major problem in our political system. We can't tell apart the people who are oriented toward the truth versus those who are not. Those, mm-hmm. are those who, you know, spout BS, we can't tell it apart. It's very difficult to do. And you know, if we devote our individual efforts to it, you know, we'd be spending all our time doing this. So it's much more effective to crowdsource fact-checking, to crowdsource other public figures who are engaged in this sort of stuff. And so we have volunteers on the ProTruth Pledge team who specifically spend their time evaluating each public figure and seeing whether this public figure who took the ProTruth Pledge is held accountable, is making sure to abide by the ProTruth Pledge. And then we have a process that's described clearly on the website for addressing potential violations of the ProTruth Pledge. So anyone who signs up can become a volunteer and address this sort of thing by monitoring public figures, and those are available on the public figures page. And they can also engage in simple lobbying public figures. So they can go to their politicians, they can go to their journalists, they can go to podcast hosts they like, they can go to TV figures and, you know, prominent academics, and encourage them to take the pledge as public figures to ensure that we can differentiate between the liars and the not liars. Yeah. In the same way that businesses have a Better Business Bureau badge on their website, and that helps you differentiate between the more honest businesses and the ones that you don't know what their business practices are like. You know, if someone doesn't take the ProTruth pledge, it doesn't mean they're dishonest. But if they have an opportunity to take the ProTruth pledge and they choose not to, mm-hmm. that tells you something about them. In the same way that, you know, pretty much all businesses by now know about the Better Business Bureau. So if they choose not to be part of the Better Business Bureau, I would be a little bit skeptical about doing business with that business.
Definitely. You know, just as a kind of an aside here before we wrap up, a good local example of this, I don't know if you've seen, recently, we just discussed this a couple of shows back, Florida passed a law that will allow any parent or county resident to challenge basically any textbook or book in a library or learning material that's being used in a school in their district. And it comes before like this school board tribunal where they bring in an outside kind of mediator, and it's really weird. But what it would allow you to do is go in and say, hey, evolution is just a theory. We should teach this other theory too. Right. Or, hey, climate change, yeah. you know, we're not really sure whether that's man caused or not. We should also teach some of these other things. Like people who don't even have children would be able to go through this process, right? So I would want people on the school board. I want people on the school board who have committed to truth. Yeah, so there's...
Absolutely. We have a number of people on school boards. School board figures are public figures. We have, for example, Patricia Blochiak from Cleveland, who is a school board figure and who took the ProTruth pledge and is public about it. I think that's really important, that we want school board figures who took the ProTruth pledge. We want everyone... We want librarians who are managing the information that we get to take the pro-truth pledge. We want all people who are providing information to us to take the pro-truth pledge. That is very important.
Absolutely. Well, I encourage all of our listeners, head over to protruthpledge.org. You can take the pledge yourself. It's very quick and easy. Again, I did it myself. If you're someone who has a web presence, you can, as we did, place the badge on your website or your blog so that you are public about your commitment to truth and post about it. Ask other people to hold you accountable too. I'm very proud to be a part of this movement. Dr. Sapersky, you've been very generous with your time today. Before we go, I'll give you the last word. Is there anything else you want to make sure we hit?
No, I think that this was wonderful, and I encourage anyone who's interested in this to talk more, to contact me at my email, Gleb, G-L-E-B, at intentionalinsights.org, and just please go to protruthpledge.org. Like Sarah said, it just takes a couple of minutes, and you'll be casting your vote for truth in politics and public discourse, and who doesn't want to do that?
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for your work and your time today. We'd love to have you back on, maybe closer to the release of your book, and we can talk some more about that. I'd be thrilled to share that on the show as well.
I'd be happy to come back and chat about that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Gleb Sapersky, professor at Ohio State University, author of the upcoming book, The Alternative to Alternative Facts, Fighting Post-Truth Politics with Behavioral Science, and the lead creator of the Pro-Truth Pledge. Again, go to protruthpledge.org to learn more and take the Pro-Truth Pledge. If you do take the pledge, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you've done that. Again, you can contact Dr. Sapersky directly at Gleb, G-L-E-B, at intentionalinsights.org. Thank you to our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/SarahTalk, Russell, Andrea, Jeremy, Harry, Heather, Josie, Stacy, and Morgan. Thank you all so much for allowing us to do what we do here on the show. If you'd like to support the show, you can also purchase our Love is Never Wrong shirt. Go to saratalk.com/shirt. Join our Facebook group to discuss the episodes with us and other listeners at facebook.com/groups/saratalk. And coming up on Saratalk, the end week episode this week will feature Marissa Alexa McCool, who is a fellow podcaster and trans woman. And tune in Mondays at 8 a.m. Eastern, live on Facebook. Follow the Saratalk page to get live notifications and be part of the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Saratalk.
Saratalk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Saratalk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.